welcome you today to the kickoff of our It's Complicated message series and the first ever 8:30 a.m. service for South Bay Church. I know that there are three types of people in this service. I've identified it. The first is the crazy people that are up and ready to go to church at 8:30 already. Some of you early birds. And then there are others of you who are diehard football fans. You got to get home by 10 a.m. to watch all the East Coast games, some of you. And then there are some diehard South Bay people here in this service that are wide awake already today. We are so excited to kick off this brand new series called It's Complicated. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about some simple solutions to relationships in our lives that oftentimes can feel very, very complex. And to get us started, I wanted to ask you this question. Has there ever been a time in your life where you realized just how complicated relationships can feel? Maybe it was a spouse that you got in a fight with and that conversation seemed to spiral out of control. It escalated. Maybe it was an unmet expectation with a coworker or somebody on a team at your place of employment. Maybe it was for you parents when you realized just how little control you have over your kids. Maybe it was a dating relationship. And you're like, I'm not really sure, is this a dating relationship, a friendship? I'm looking at this guy's status on Facebook or this gal's status on Facebook to figure out what is this thing. We can all agree that at times relationships can feel very, very complicated. And I remember one time I had this realization after my wife Stacy and I had been married for about a year and a half. I was in grad school. It was her first year of teaching. We just bought a house. We were in over our heads financially, and on top of all of this, we were starting a church while going to grad school. And we got in an argument. I couldn't even remember what the argument was about until yesterday. I asked my wife, Stacy. She so clearly remembered what it was about. I won't tell you, though, because it'll make me look really bad. But the conversation escalated to the point that Stacy stormed out of the room. Now, our personalities are radically different. I like to bully my way through conflict. Stacy likes to have a little bit of space so she can get her thoughts together. Now, my way, those of you who are like me think your way is the best way, right? But my way can lend itself to saying things that I regret and I later have to take back. So she storms out of the room. She goes into our bedroom and she slams the door. Now, I reach out to grab the door. And by the time I get my hand to the door and I put my hand on the handle, I jiggle it and I realize that the door is locked. Now, if there's one way to infuriate a man, is to lock him out of his own bedroom. So I started knocking on the door. No answer. Minute, 2 minutes go by. Kept knocking on the door, and I hear Stacy on the inside, go away. I'm like, no, I'm not going away. I'm staying here till you open this door. And then I knock again, and she says, go away. And she's on the inside thinking to herself, how can I get out of this situation? Am I going to have to jump out of the bedroom window? I'm standing on the other side thinking to myself, am I going to have to bust down this door to get into that bedroom? And the realization occurred to me in this season of life that relationships are way more complicated than I ever anticipated they would be. And there are so many elements that play into our complications in relationships. We have differing personalities. Some of us have at our core different cultures than the people that we relate to. All of us have this issue of selfishness that plays its way into relationships. And then on top of that, we live in one of the most fast-paced cultures and societies in all of the world. There's tremendous pressure financially. The cost of living is so high. And then not even on top of that, which brings in the whole issue of technology and how do we communicate with one another? Do I send a text or do I call this person? There was a commercial recently where this gal was getting a phone call and she said, I can't believe he's calling me. And then the guy sends a text and then she immediately responds to the text. Do I send a call? Do I break up with this guy on Facebook or do I actually let him know personally that our relationship's done? Do I resolve this conflict over email or do I actually sit down with this person and resolve the issue? Relationships at their core are complex because you and I are complex human beings. And all of us know that the quality of our relationships ultimately determines the quality of our life and the destiny of our life. So the question that we're dealing with this series is, how do I get some simplicity? How do I get some joy? How do I get some peace in the most important relationships in my life? Now, here's where we're going with the series. Each week, I want to tell you the four solutions that we're going to address each week. The first one that we're going to talk about this week is getting crazy with our priorities. And we're going to address this fact that so many times in our lives, our priorities are upside down and it's negatively affecting our relationship. In the second week, we're going to talk about living with uncommon honesty. In the third week, we're going to address how to extend ridiculous grace and forgiveness to one another. And oftentimes, the bitterness of our past can begin to complicate relationships. And then that last week, we're going to talk about becoming an overflowing fountain of life. And that week, we'll address the power of our words. And I want to encourage you to be here or to listen to the messages online, because each of these weeks, each of these strategies are incredibly important for gaining peace and joy in the most important relationships in our lives. And today, to start us off, we're going to address this issue of priorities. And I thought it would be fun to start off our series for you to write down inside your program who are the five most important relationships in your life. Like, if you were to pull out your phone right now and you were to say, who are my top five and my favorites, write those names down, because that will be a lens through which this series will really impact our personal lives. And we want to look at marriage, we want to look at dating relationships, we want to look at parenting, we want to look at grandparenting. Now, if you have a kid that's like 5 or 7, I really hope that they don't have a cell phone and they're in your list of favorites, but you probably want to write that person down, and throughout the series, we'll apply all of these principles. And these principles, at their core, are biblical solutions, because we believe the Bible is the Word of God and it has more to say for us about relationships than any other book in human history. And to get us started today, as we talk about priorities, there's a reason why we use that phrase, get crazy with our priorities, because crazy, it in essence helps us understand that this is the opposite of the way that things are typically happening. Because normal with relationships, normal with marriage is divorce. Normal with dating relationships is not really knowing if it's dating or a friendship. Normal with our place of work is frustration and anxiety in those relationships. Normal and extended family relationships is brokenness, pain, disappointment, and hurt. And if we're going to experience a different kind of world relationally, then we are going to have to go against the grain of the way that the rest of the world does relationships. And today, to start us, we're going to look at a very powerful passage of Scripture found in Matthew chapter 22, looking at how Jesus cut through the complexity of life in order to help people understand how they could simply order their world. If you have a Bible, you can turn there, and it will also be on the screen. Listen to the passage as it starts off. It says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. Now, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, if you read through the life of Jesus, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were always looking for opportunities to stump Jesus. In fact, they were the religious leaders. They were the ones that despised the ministry of Jesus, because for hundreds and hundreds of years, the nation of Israel had been waiting for a Messiah. And the Messiah that they thought would come would be someone who would bring about a physical kingdom. They wanted to overthrow the Roman Empire. Yet for Jesus, he didn't talk about a physical kingdom. He never talked about overthrowing the Romans so that the Jews and the Israelites could have their promised land physically again. He was talking about a spiritual kingdom, about a heavenly kingdom. And so the Pharisees and Sadducees were always looking for a prime opportunity to throw Jesus off. And they got together, and they decided that they would ask him a question and listen to the question. It says, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him, Jesus, with this question. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in all of the law? Now, if you are familiar with the Bible, you've probably heard this story before, and you know what Jesus is going to say. But if you're new and you're exploring, or if you were in that culture, this was a very difficult question for Jesus. Because he has 600 laws that he has to wade through, and this one teacher is saying to him, what is top priority? What's the most important thing that I can give the focal point of my life, my attention to? What is top priority of the 600 laws, Jesus? What's most important? Have you ever felt like that before? that you look at your life and you look at the complexity. You got to pay the bills. If you're parents, you got to get your kids to sports practice. If you're students, you got to study for this test, and you have all of these obligations at school. There are clubs and organizations that we're a part of. There are a myriad of relationships of in our lives, from maybe it's a family member to spouses to friends and all of these people that we're trying to prioritize, and it can feel very overwhelming. And the question for us of what is the most important component of life can feel very crippling at times. And this complexity, this uncertainty about what is most important can create a whole lot of complications in relationships. And if you're taking notes, what I want us to hear is this, that clarity around priorities ultimately will simplify our relationships, while a lack of clarity around this question can complicate every relationship in our lives. What is the most important thing that I can give my life to? What is the most important thing? And the answer to this one question can fuel simplicity or it can fuel complexity in our lives. And to illustrate this principle, we put together a very short video. I wanted to do this illustration on stage, but our staff and team convinced me that this illustration would be better on video. So let's roll this short video and then I'll be back up. Now, the creative team here at South Bay Church got together and we asked the question, how can we creatively show or communicate this idea that if the priorities of our life are straight, it simplifies life? And then when we get our priorities out of order, it seems to complicate life. So we're gonna do a little science experiment, if you will. This here is a chocolate fountain. Now let's see what happens when we turn this chocolate fountain on. All of a sudden, the chocolate begins to flow. As you can see, it comes from the bottom to the top. And you look at this thing and you just think to yourself, oh my gosh, I'd love just to grab a strawberry or a banana or a marshmallow and dip it in that thing. It just looks so good because it's ordered the correct way. The priorities are right. Now, let's see what happens when we do it out of order. We're gonna actually take these pieces that are supposed to be facing down and flip them up and put them here on top of this other chocolate fountain. In fact, we won't even use the fountain. We'll just throw it in there like this. Now, let's see what happens when we turn this thing on. All right, let's see the chocolate come. It's not working. What's going on with this thing? I mean, that's crazy. Gosh! Oh! See, this is what happens when you get your priorities out of whack. This is what it's like right here with this fountain. When the order of your life and priorities are straight, it's simple, it's beautiful, it flows. And you can see why we did that on video and not on stage. That one question, though, what is the most important thing in my life, is so very important. That's why we're starting our series addressing this question. And watch what Jesus says in response. Jesus says this. He says, the most important law of the entire 600 commandments in the Old Testament of the Bible is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then he makes a statement. He says, this is the first and greatest commandment. Can we say that last part of the phrase together? This is the first and greatest commandment. Jesus emphasizes that first and foremost, above everything else, comes loving God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your soul. To embody this desire to love him more than you've loved him in the past. And this idea was a revolutionary idea for the people in Jesus' day, because the religious leaders had placed all of these rules on people, rules that oftentimes ostracized them from God, that many times in order to get to God, they had to keep all of these rules, and there was this separation between the Creator and the created. And Jesus came and he said, it's not about religion. It's not about you crossing your T's and dotting your I's. It's about loving God. And there's a radical difference between doing things because of law and doing things because of love. And if you understand love, Jesus is saying, then you'll want to obey all of my commandments. You'll want to follow me with your life. But if you emphasize law, then you'll miss out on relationship with God. And here's what I believe Jesus is saying from this, that in order to get crazy with our priorities, we're going to have to learn to love God first and foremost above everything else, to love God first and foremost above everything else, to not love God in a religious way, to not try to keep our lives straight so that we're appeasing him, but to love him out of the overflow of our heart. And listen to me, this is why we started South Bay Church, because we had the realization when we looked around, so few people understood that there's a God that created them with a longing for them to know him and be in relationship with him. And in order for us to really understand this revolutionary concept, Jesus would embody this truth to help us realize that the focal point of our lives should be to love God first and foremost. And the litmus test for you and I of what we love most comes out of this. What has my greatest affection? What has my greatest emotion? What has the greatest control over my thoughts? And I'd love for you just to think about that question for a second. When you look at your life, what is it that you give the bulk of your attention to? What is it that gets the bulk of your affections? Is it maybe one of those people in your list of favorites on your phone that you think about more than anything else? I remember, you know, in dating, some of you remember when you first start dating and you can't stop thinking about that person that you're in a dating relationship with. Maybe you're in that place where that person is first and foremost. Maybe for you, it's a promotion at work that you can't stop thinking about getting ahead, and the company that you work for is getting your greatest amount of affection. Maybe it's you becoming rich and wealthy and famous and this notoriety to your life that you think about more than anything else. Sadly to say, oftentimes for many people, it's their family, their spouse, or their kids above God. And God never tells us that we shouldn't love our family, but there's this dynamic when I start to love things above God, I can take something that is good, that is a gift from God, and I can put it in the place of God in my life. That the greatest affection, the greatest thoughts, the greatest passion of my life goes towards that thing that was a gift from God. And then I start to put expectations on that thing or that person, and I can complicate my life because there are these places in my heart, in your heart, in all of our hearts, that only God can fulfill. There's a place of joy, a place of peace. There's this hole in our hearts that is only to be filled with God or by God. And when I start to take these other things and put them in this place, I set that person or that thing up to disappoint me, and I complicate that relationship. And Jesus says, if you're going to order your life, it starts with loving God first, not in a religious way, but in a relational way. It's a change in paradigm. It's a change in the way that you see circumstances. It's a change in the way that you see the pursuits of your life. It's looking at life through the lens of, in this decision that I'm making, what would help me love God more? When I look at how I spend my time, does my time display that God is priority in my life? Maybe it's carving out time in the morning to read the Bible, pray, to journal. Maybe it's looking at a promotion with work and saying, am I making this decision because of love for God or because of love for myself or some other area of my life? When I begin to understand the significance and the priority of loving God before loving anything or anyone else, it begins to order my personal life and create simplicity and peace in the most important relationships in my life. But Jesus didn't stop with loving God. In fact, the story continues, and listen to what he says next. He says, the second one is like it. It's to love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now, there's something kind of ironic going on in Jesus' description here, because Jesus makes the statement to love others with the same passion, with the same love that we love ourselves. Now, think about it like this. If you're in a room, the natural tendency when the meal comes out is to think of who? It's to think of yourself. At least for guys it is, right? Women are a little bit different than this. They think of the kids and they think of themselves. But a guy, on the other hand, it always illustrates to me my own propensity to think of myself, that when the food comes out or when things are being happening, my natural inclination is to look to my own interests. But there's something Jesus is saying here that I think that we could miss if we just skirt past it. That Jesus is saying that in order to love people, in order to love people with the same kind of love that God has for us, there has to be this understanding of who we are and a love for ourselves, not in a selfish kind of way, but to understand and see ourselves the way that God sees us. And the second point we want to emphasize after loving God first and foremost is if I'm going to love people and if there's going to be simplicity in my relationships, I have to get healthy personally. I have to get healthy personally. See, when you look at your life, you are a physical, spiritual, and emotional human being. And all three of these facets of our personal lives play in together to make up who God has created us to be, a physical, emotional, and spiritual human being. And when there is a lack of health, when there is a disease in any component of our lives personally, that disease becomes a poison that can overflow and find its way into our relationships and create complexity. And so very simply put, if you're taking notes, one of the greatest gifts that you can give to the people in your life is a healthy you. One of the greatest gifts that you can give to the people in your life. In those top five, those five favorites on your phone, one of the greatest gifts that you can give to those people is a healthy you. As you become healthy emotionally, as you become healthy spiritually, as you become more healthy physically, all of these elements of health, of loving yourself, begin to overflow and find their way into your relationships. And one of the big paradigm shifts for me as a follower of Jesus and then as a husband and as a father, I realize how my own personal health plays itself out in our marriage, in our home, and even in our church. That when I'm stressed out, when I'm anxious, when I'm frustrated, when I'm living with perfectionism, whatever that disease is that's creeping its way into my life, whenever I'm living out of alignment with health, it begins to spill over into all the relationships in my life. And so I could come into the office here at South Bay one day, and if I'm stressed out, guess what happens? Everybody else on our staff gets stressed out. When I'm stressed out, when I walk through the doors at home, guess what happens? Everybody else in the house feels that stress. But when I walk in and there's joy, when I walk in and there's love, that health finds its way into those relationships. And it's a paradigm shift. It's looking at life differently to realize. Remember when you're on the airplane and they go through that long 20-minute talk about what you're supposed to do if the plane spirals out of control, and we all know if that happens, we're going to freak out and we're not going to do anything that they talked about. Right in the middle of that, what do they say to you? In the case of a lack of oxygen, I can't remember the typical phrase they use, put in the oxygen mask will descend, and what does it say? Please put on whose oxygen mask first? Yours, and then help those around you, small children, people that can't help themselves that are dying next to you and drooling on your shoulder. Help those people next. Take care of yourself, then take care of that. But there's a principle in that. It's put your oxygen mask on, and then you're able to sift through the complexity of life and invest in and love and encourage the most important people in your life. Sometimes it's when you recognize that there's something internally, a past hurt or pain. It's going to a counselor to get the kind of help that you need. Sometimes it's an issue of forgiving someone from your past. We're going to talk about that in our third week. Sometimes it's an issue of maybe even just getting enough sleep, because you recognize as a mom, when you get enough sleep, it plays over into your relationships with your kids. Sometimes for those of you who are single, it's getting out of a relationship that you realize is going nowhere very fast. For some of you, maybe it's a family member that there's a strained relationship and abuse, whether it's physically, emotionally, or spiritually, and there needs to be some distance in that relationship. But until you and I shift our perspective to love God first and then to get healthy personally, our lives will stay complex relationally. The question is, what is the step that you need to take in response to this principle of getting healthy personally? Maybe it's getting involved in a life group that deals with a struggle that you're currently having. But taking this one step could order your life and bring simplicity to the most important relationships that you have. And then Jesus will say this. Let's finish up this passage and watch how he ties it all together. He says, the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Jesus makes this very powerful statement. He says, of the 600 laws in all of the Old Testament, it's like a hanger that you're holding up. It's like an operating system by which every other component of life is ordered. That when you understand to love God more than anything else, with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and you and I understand to love our neighbors as ourselves, it will order the rest of our lives. But the question is, who's your neighbor? Is it the person that lives next to you on the street that you live on, or that person in your apartment complex, or is it the person in the cubicle next to you at work? Well, the answer is yes, all of those people are your neighbor, but the question then becomes, who is your most important neighbor? Who's the most important person in your life for you to love more than you love yourself? It's that list of people on your top five. It's those people that you interact with more than anybody else. And the third point that I want us to understand, the way that Jesus says all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. First, we got to love God first and foremost. And then it translates to getting healthy personally. But the last thing that I believe is very, very important for us on top of all of this is to order our relationships and our work. To order our relationships and our work. See, Jesus takes this concept of work. In their minds, for the people in his culture, religion was work. And Jesus says, before work comes loving God and loving people. And if you love God and if you love people, then all of the work that needs to get done, it will order itself out. It will flow in your life. There will be peace. There will be joy. There will be contentment in the most important components of your life. And so let me ask you this question. If you were to do an honest assessment of your life right now, and you were to order your relationships in your life, what would you see? Not saying what your aspirational order is. What is it that is the reality of how you currently are living? Is it work, then family, and then maybe taking care of yourself personally, and then God's that afterthought for you? Or are your priorities the way that God desires, the way that leads to life, that leads to the kind of relationships that all of us certainly hope for? See, I've seen in my own life the significance of what happens when I begin to order priorities and work in the correct way. I was sitting down a couple weeks ago with my son Cademan, who's 7 years old, and I was thinking about my message, and it's unfair to him because I know I'm like trying to create message illustrations all the time in my household. And on this particular occasion, I thought, well, I just want to test and see with him, with priorities, what he thinks the priorities of my life are. So I asked him, I said, Cademan, what is the most important thing in the entire world to Dad? And Cademan looks at me without hesitating. He said, God's the most important thing to you. I said, great job. What's after that? He said, Mom. Mom comes after God. Now, guys, we have never had this conversation. I've never said to him, these are my priorities. You're going to get tested so I can have a great illustration for a message itself. But I just was testing him out, and he said, after God comes mommy. And then I said, what about after mommy? He said, me and Sammy. I'm like, buddy, go grab $5 from my wallet and put it in your jar. I'm just kidding. I didn't say the money part. But you know what struck me about that is that it hasn't always been that way for me. But it's that way now, to the point that my 7-year-old son can identify, Dad, these are your priorities. And then I said to him, how about work? Where does work come? And he said, work comes after us. And you know, for many of you today, you're looking at your life and it's not ordered. It's all out of whack. And if I could say anything to you today, it's that God is giving you a second chance to get your life in order. For those of you who are married, God should always come before your spouse. But immediately following that relationship should come the relationship with your spouse. And then immediately following that should come the relationship that you have with your children. And then after that, that's when your work comes. And I've noticed in my own life, when I order my priorities, how much security that gives to the people in my life. You know, I think about my wife, Stacy, how much security it gives to her knowing that God is top priority in my life. And then for my two small boys, how much security it gives to them knowing that their mom and their dad love each other more than they love them. And then for my boys, that security plays itself out into a family dynamic that's filled with joy and peace. And even for the people that I work with on our team, our staff here at South Bay Church, how much security it gives to a church and a staff to know that their pastor, he models and loves his family and puts his family before work. And guys, if all of us were to do this, if all of us were to stop today, and for some of you singles, can I talk to you just for a second? Some of you blame the fact that you were a single and you say, because I don't have a family, I can just neglect the most important priorities and I can work and hope that it will make up for itself later. Could I say to you, maybe for some of you that are hoping for a spouse, that spouse is right next to you, maybe even in one of our YP life groups here at South Bay Church, but because your head is down and because your priorities are out of whack, that you might be missing one of the greatest opportunities for a healthy relationship that God wants to give to you. God is giving you a second chance, and I want you to hear this. God never, if you were to look through the pages of Scripture, God never promises to make up for our misplaced priorities. He never promises that he's going to make up for your misplaced priorities or my misplaced priorities. And I think that so many times in our lives, we go through this struggle internally that we feel like if we just neglect the most important relationships, the most important priorities, that eventually it will all pan its way out. And that I can focus on work and I can give hundreds and hundreds of hours and neglect baseball and soccer with my kids and fail to be there for the most important events of their lives. Or I can neglect my spouse, or even for those of you who are single, to neglect my opportunity to have a spouse, or to neglect my own personal health, that I'll just keep pushing. And then one day it's going to make up for itself. But guys, history and our culture is littered with people who have had wrong priorities. It's full of people that have gotten to the end of their lives in their 70s and their 80s and realized that they neglected the most important things. And now there is all this complexity, all of this brokenness, all of this pain and hurt because their life was not ordered. Let me ask you a question. When it's all said and done, when you move from this life to the next, it's your funeral, who's going to be there? Guys, I don't mean to break your heart about how important your coworkers are. Unless you die in like the next year or two, that coworker, that person in the cubicle, that boss of yours that is driving you, they're not going to be the ones crying at your funeral. It's going to be your children. It's going to be your family. It's going to be your friends. It's going to be that list of people on your phone. And God's given you an opportunity today to reorder your priorities, to go with the flow of how he has said life should work, to love him first and foremost, to get healthy personally second, and then to order your relationships and work. And so some of us, we've identified this is what we'd see right now, but I want to challenge you this week to write it down, to have a conversation with a friend, a family member, a spouse, and say, this is what my priorities should be, and then to start taking steps that way. Maybe it's putting boundaries in place with a boss. Maybe for some of you, you're in a toxic environment at work and you need to start looking for a new place of employment, and maybe even go to the extent to lower your standard of living so that the greatest gift you could give to your kids, not a bigger house, not more money, not a college education to Stanford, not that that's bad, but that's not the greatest thing you could give to your kids. The greatest gift that you're ever going to give to your children is the gift of you. So the question is, will you take those steps today to reorder your life? And for some of us, you're here today, you're exploring faith, maybe this whole idea of God is new to you. Could I challenge you that maybe today could be that day that you give God that first and foremost place in your life? See, Jesus recognized that religion at its core was all about what we could do to get to God. It was all about these rules and these laws and these obligations. But Jesus would come and he would give a new way. He would take it from religion and he would order it and say it's not about religion, it's about relationship. And the perfect Son of God, God in human flesh, would go to a cross, and Scripture communicates that he would die between two thieves, and he would die a sacrificial death. In essence, he would die in our place because religion couldn't make up the gap that had been broken because of my jealousy, because of my foolishness, because of our bitterness, because of our anger. There was a gap that divided us and God, and Jesus came to that place where he would be crucified between two thieves to bridge the gap so you and I could be restored back to God. And I love this verse from Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that says, the wages of our sin is death. The consequences of our sin is separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is a gift that God can give to you where you can begin relationship with him, not based upon your good deeds, not based upon what you could do, but based upon what Jesus has done. That in his dying on a cross and his resurrection, by faith in him, by trusting in him, by yielding control of your life to him, by acknowledging your need for him, that God can become that centerpiece of your life and relationship between you and God can begin in this moment. And this other verse from Romans says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, meaning that he's master, he's in control, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Relationship between you and God can begin in this moment, very simply, as we've said, by God's grace in what Jesus has done and our faith in him. So my question is, if you've never put him at the centerpiece of your life, would you do that today? Would you make this also important decision that fuels every other component, every other relationship in your life? Let's pray together. If that's you, God's stirring in your heart, I want to just ask you very simply to say a prayer that might go something like this. God, I recognize my need for you. Jesus, I believe that you died on a cross for my sins. I want to recognize today that you rose from the dead. And I ask for your forgiveness. Just tell him from the bottom of your heart, step into my life today. I give you control. I confess with my mouth and heart that you are Lord. Just tell him from the bottom of your heart. And as you do, God will enter in. He will give you a new life, and relationship between you and God will begin in this moment. Others of you who are followers of Jesus, maybe today it's asking God for his help to reorder your life, to take the steps to make your priorities straight, and that would overflow into every component of your life. Recognizing today an area of your life that needs to be changed, just tell God in between you and him, Jesus, thank you that you came to give us life and love, not religion, but you came and you took our sins on a cross. We recognize our need for you today. We welcome you in to be the cornerstone, the centerpiece of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Before the band plays this next song, I want to just give you an opportunity for those of you today who made a decision to yield your heart to God during this song to pull out this connection card and to indicate on the back that you became a follower of Jesus today. There's a small part. Go ahead and do that during the song. For the rest of us and all of us here today, this song is an opportunity just to meditate on and let the truths that we've talked about today go deeper. Maybe even thinking specifically of a way that you can apply this week the message that we've discussed today.